About 60% of military women say they have received severe or repeated sexual harassment. 13% report sexual assault during their service. At the same time, another health issue involving women in the military has stayed mostly below the radar. That's the issue of intimate partner violence. A new report published in the Journal of Women's Health caught the attention of Sound Medicine's healthy living expert, Dr. Teresa Rohr Kirschgraber.
For so long, women, I believe, and men for that matter, have been not bringing it up, not talking about it, perhaps being embarrassed about it or upset that it could happen to them. So that when this came up, especially with some of the recent events that have occurred, and that we needed to be able to discuss not only military sexual trauma and violence, but intimate partner violence within a military setting. Yes, this is kind of a defined and a specific group, but I think that what we learn from these specific cases translates into other civilian activities.
An author in the Journal of Women's Health reports that at least 36% of active duty service women reported physical, psychological, or sexual intimate partner violence during their time in the service. Why do you think this has gotten such a lot less attention than the public discussion of military sexual assault?
Well, one, it's because victims, I think, get very concerned about how it's going to affect them, how it's going to affect their career, and that at first it can be very embarrassing that this is somebody who you trusted, this is somebody who you had a personal relationship with. And also, as women veterans, as women military personnel, the anticipation is that you can take care of yourself. So when this happens to you from somebody that you had a close relationship with, it's very disconcerting.
Is 36% a high number if you compare it to the general population?
Oh, it's a significantly elevated number. But what's more concerning is that the 36% is those women who actually reported it. And we know that it's not so much in the number of women reporting, but it's in those that didn't. So anticipate that that number is probably double or triple that. But one of the interesting things, too, is they recognize that in military personnel, there seemed to be a higher incidence of women who had had prior experience of abuse before they ever got into the military. And so perhaps doing more screening on the front end to then give support to those women who have been victims or have witnessed abuse in the past so that they are more able to recognize it in themselves or in their friends and to seek out help long before it gets to such a level.
What about the physical toll that this takes on women?
Well, you know what's really interesting is that there was a significant difference between what the military considers to be severe in terms of abuse and what civilian court systems see as severe. So, for example, if somebody has complained of an episode of physical violence, which included strangulation. Now, a person didn't die, wasn't permanently injured, but there was an episode in which a strangulation occurred. From the Department of Defense, that is not treated as severe abuse because for the Department of Defense, they require that for abuse to be considered as severe, it must result in a major injury that required inpatient treatment or temporary or permanent disability for that victim. So, I got into a fight. My partner tried to strangle me. I got away. I survived. That is not considered a severe abuse in the Department of Defense, but it would be in the civilian courts.
I would imagine then we're talking about not only military women at higher risk for physical health problems, but also emotional and psychological health problems.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things. One of the highlights that the study kind of pointed out is that we do need to look at this from the very beginning, because if it's not treated and not taken care of early enough, then what happens is that the complications are so significant, not only with chronic pain, with drug abuse, substance abuse, homelessness. It impacts their abilities in such a great amount, even far down the line.
Do you see some reason for optimism in the future since there is so much attention being paid to military sexual assault? Do you think it'll translate into intimate partner assault for these military women?
I think it is a great first step just the fact that military sexual trauma has been brought to the forefront, that it's being discussed, that it's not being swept under the rug anymore. Now, granted, there are still many cases that need to be further investigated, and we need more research on this. So, yes, I'm grateful that at least we're thinking about it and looking at it now. We need more. We need to identify the problem and discover the scope of the problem in order to be able to then look at what gets the problem started, and therefore then be able to look at how do you prevent it from happening. The goal is not necessarily to always treat after the fact, but we'd like to be able to put some processes in place to treat from the very beginning to help prevent it from happening in the first place.
Dr. Teresa Rohr-Kirschgraber, thank you so much.
Thank you, Barb.
Dr. Teresa Rohr-Kirschgraber is with Eskenazi Health Center of Excellence for Women's Health, an associate professor of clinical medicine and pediatrics at the IU School of Medicine, and a regular contributor to Sound Medicine.